Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Gary Greenberg. And Gary Greenberg has devoted his whole life for the past few years to passing the Child Victims Act in the New York State Legislature, and it failed again. And he's here to explain exactly what happened. So, Gary, how are you feeling after this, you know, whirlwind last couple of weeks?
Well, first of all, good morning to you and your listener, Cynthia. Well, I'm disappointed and frustrated because, you know, we had enough votes in the New York State Senate to pass the Child Victims Act. We had the 23 Democrats who conferenced together, and then we had the 8 IDC members, and we had a Republican for the first time ever, James Tedisco, Senator James Tedisco from Schenectady, stated he would vote for it. And so we had the votes. So we had the momentum. Tedisco announced that he was going to support the bill. And then the next morning, lo and behold, the majority leader, John Flanagan, coming out of a leadership meeting, said that they were discussing it, but there would be no vote. So, you know, we're angry and disappointed, and this is the closest we ever came to it. The Assembly passed the bill, the Child Victims Act, for the first time since 2008. And the Senate, we had the votes, and for that reason, Flanagan pulled the plug on it.
So did Flanagan give any reason why there would be no vote?
No, he wouldn't say. He just said that there wouldn't be a vote. But, you know, we all know why. I mean, he's under pressure from the, lobbyist groups, from the religious organizations, the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Jewish groups. The Boy Scouts spent a lot of money to lobby against the bill, which was shocking to us. We found out later in the session. And big insurance companies. So, you know, but what was so disappointing is that we had the vote. So, you know, if we had the votes, then, you know, this one man can stop, you know, a vote. That's wrong. The Senate, you know, these senators are elected to come here to Albany to do the people's business, to represent their constituents in their districts, and the majority of senators wanted to vote yes for it, but, you know, because of the political obligations and, you know, payback for donations to the Republican Senate Committee, you know, Senator Flanagan wouldn't allow a vote. And he hasn't. The Republicans haven't allowed a vote for 11 years. And this is why. They know it'll pass.
So why are the insurance companies against it?
Well, because a liability. So, liability on institutions. So if an institution, you know, was held in a civil... Remember, the look back is gives victims a chance, anybody that was abused prior in New York State, to go into a civil court and under the, you know, rules and laws of civil court sue, where, you know, you'd have a judge and a jury. And so if there was, you know, $2-3 million, whatever, you know, $500,000 award, then if it was against a synagogue or a church, you know, or Boy Scouts, then their insurance companies would be, they have insurance, and then the insurance companies would be responsible for that, and that's why they're against it. It all comes down to money, Cynthia. It's money.
Okay.
Money over...
Okay. So, let me ask you this. What was the consensus in the IDC?
Well, the IDC was for Holloman's bill, Brad, the sponsor of the bill, Senator Brad Holloman. And then at they came up with a compromise bill at the 11th hour, and the AIDC sponsored that, and that was to have no SOL and then have a commission put together by the chief judge of New York State, and like a former assistant district attorney would serve on it, and some other, you know, there were some other guidelines in there. There was going to be a 5-member commission that would review the civil cases, determine if there was enough evidence, or before they would actually go to civil court. And that was a compromise bill put up by Jeff Klein. And you know, that's something that I would support, and other advocates would support. And we anticipated that would be voted on because of the IDC connection, you know, with the Republicans, the alignment they have, the agreements. And so we were shocked that at least one bill didn't come to the floor. So in the end, obviously the IDC didn't get, you know, Flanagan pulled the plug, so the IDC didn't have enough influence on Flanagan to get a vote. So that also is disappointing to me. I supported Maricel Alcantari in a primary race over the regular Democratic, the party candidate. I took a big gamble because my objective was to get, you know, that was an open seat, and all three candidates had endorsed the Child Victims Act, and you know, my objective was to get candidates, when I formed the PAC Fighting for Children last year, to get candidates in there that would support the Child Victims Act. And what I mean by support is come up to Albany and, you know, speak on it and fight for it, and you know, stand on the floor and fight for it. And you know, I endorse Senator Alcantari, like I said, over one party back candidate. It was a 3-person race, and another candidate, and you know, she came up here, and right from the beginning, we had a rally on January 4th, and she did not attend the rally, which was surprising to me. And then during the session, she was very quiet on the issue, and then later on, you know, we found out that Greg Johnson, who was a senator, a former senator from Long Island, was lobbying against the Child Victims Act for the Boy Scouts, and Senator Johnson is a major fundraiser for the IDC, so that upset a lot of people. And then the IDC came out with this bill, and Maricel wrote me saying we were going to get it to the floor. Now, this will come to the floor, you'll like it. And then, you know, it didn't come to the floor. So, you know, Maricel didn't do what she was supposed to do. She didn't champion the bill. She didn't speak on the bill. And I'm very disappointed in her. You know, why have an IDC? Why have these eight Democrats? You know, and I've said it before. And why have 8 Democrats break away from the regular Democrats if they can't produce?
Right.
They couldn't produce on the Child Victims Act. So if you know, Felder, they should all go back. And if they did, if there was, there's 32 Democrats. If the 32 Democrats were there, the majority leader would be Cousins, Andrea Stewart Cousins,
right.
And you would have had a Child Victims Act. So, you know, that does bother me that, you know, I supported her. I was probably better off looking back at it now to support the regular Democrat. He might have went up there and been a lot louder voice than she was.
Now, have you spoken to Andrea Stewart Cousins about this bill?
Yeah, she was very supportive of it. She attended a news conference calling for a vote. Yes, she's been very supportive and called, you know, for the legislature, the Senate, to pass the bill. And so we have no, you know, I wish she was the majority leader, because you would have a Child Victims Act in this state.
Now, you talk about Senator Felder. He is not an IDC member, but he's a supposedly a mainstream Democrat. He's not an IDC member, yet he caucuses with the Republicans. If he was an IDC member, there would be 9 instead of 8.
Right.
Right?
He stated that he would go back to the, if the IDC went back, he would go back, so to the regular Democrats. So that's what he stated. So he actually is a Democrat who sits with the Republicans. So this is why they have the majority, because he sits with them. The IDC does not sit with them. They're aligned with them. They have their own conference. So, but actually, Senator Felder, who runs as a Democrat, sits with the 31 Republican senators. So that gives them a 32 majority.
Right. And that's because his district is primarily conservative. Is that correct?
Well, that's what he says, they're conservative. He also says that if whoever gives him the best, he's there to get the best deal for his constituents, you know, when it comes to what conference he's going to sit in. So, you know, if the IDC went back, he would go back. He stated that. And so, you know, that's too bad, because more people in this state voted for Democratic candidates than Republicans, and it's disappointing because, you know, Flanagan killed the bill, and here the IDC is aligned with them. They didn't get the bill to the floor. They're aligned with them. So what's the sense if you can't get legislation passed, if you
uh-huh.
can't do the Dream
uh-huh.
Act, if you can't do women's rights? Why stay there, you know? Go back with the regular Democrats, get Felder to go back, and come to agreement and have a Democratic conference and vote Flanagan out. He's not doing the Democrats any favors.
So,
or the IDC.
The Flanagan bent to the wishes of the special interests. What makes you think if there's a true Democratic majority in the state Senate, Andrea Stewart Cousins wouldn't do the same thing?
Well, I don't think she would, because, you know, I just don't think she would. She has a pretty good record in the past. And I think that you'd be able to get some of the progressive bills through. You'd be able to get, you know, the Dream Act, then you'd have the votes for you know, a lot of Democratic progressive bills that Flanagan won't, including the Child Victims Act. I mean, you know, I look at it as a one issue. Yes, Child Victims Act, but it's what's the most important, as Assemblyman Rosenthal said in a speech before Advocates. It's the most important vote that a legislator could have to protect future generations of children from being sexually abused. And, you know, Majority Leader Flanagan turned his back on the children of this state. He voted instead for special interests that give campaign contributions, the church, like I said, Boy Scouts and insurance companies. He sold out, you know, the protection of children in this state. I mean, I would urge him to allow a vote. They're going to come back for a special session to vote on issues that were unresolved, and the Senate should follow in the Assembly's footsteps and pass the Child Victims Act now.
Last time around, did you support Flanagan's opponent?
Yes, we did, Peter Mastrolli. Yes, we did, and we went down there and campaigned and weren't successful. And it's hard to knock out an incumbent in this state. The districts are all gerrymandered,
mm-hmm.
So it's very hard to knock out an incumbent. We did knock out one incumbent who was against the Child Victims Act and put in one of our own. But it's a very hard process to defeat an incumbent assembly person or senator in the state. I think 99% of the incumbents won. So,
Now, after you realized that the bill would not go through, did you reach Ersol and ask her why, you know, she was not vocal on this issue?
Who, Maricel?
Yeah.
Maricel, she unfriended me on Facebook. And
oh, my God.
And I don't really like, you know, no, she hasn't. Just that one, I did have to go on another person's Facebook page to send her a message, and then she did respond that they were going to get it to the floor, which they never did. But no, I don't appreciate, you know, her behavior as a senator to unfriend a loyal supporter of hers who gave her thousands of dollars, who endorsed her, who held a rally for her, who got her, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in free publicity. And you know, I'm just, you know, I doubt I'll support her in any more elections because, you know, of her behavior towards me, and, you know, it's uncalled for of a senator that's supposed to endorse the Child Victims Act to do that. So, no, I'm very disappointed in her. When I endorsed her, I thought she was going to come up here and be a champion for us and stand up and speak out and come to rallies and to, you know, go on the floor and to use her voice to push the Senate to take a vote. And, you know, all we got from her is silence. She never came to a rally. She never said anything on the floor of the Senate and never put anything in one of her newsletters. And, you know, out of all the candidates I endorsed, she did the least. And, I'm disappointed in her. So the lesson learned, Cynthia.
Next session is going to be the prelude to the 2018 election in which Cuomo will be up for another term. Give us your thoughts about how the next session is going to fare and Cuomo's role, and do you think you'll have more success come January?
Well, if we don't get it passed in a special session, yes, we'll go on to January. And you know, I think the only way it will pass if it's in the budget as a policy issue, you know. And, you know, the governor this year told us to start early. Last year he said we started too late, so we started early this year. And he came out for it in January. And, you know, the governor does support the bill, but, you know, when you're the governor of the state of New York, you can support something, and he put it in the state of the state book. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily, I think that when you're governor, and if you really want a bill, you know, as he's done in the past on marriage equality and other things that he really wants to see passed, he gets out there and he goes into senators' districts and he gets on the phone and calls them and twists her arm. You know, we have to, you know, get this passed, and he's public about it. But he did come out in January for this, and then he went silent. You know, he didn't say anything, gave hundreds of speeches, you know, tons of press conferences, chances to the media to say something, to urge the Senate to vote, to urge Senator, didn't make, you know, that I know of, didn't really push it, call senators, urge them to vote, come out publicly after January until 2 days before, you know, the session was going to end. He came out and sent a program bill to the Senate, a mirror of the assembly bill. And then the next day, for the first time that I know of in front of the media, he ever said anything on this bill this year in the session, he said that it wouldn't pass. So, you know, he wasn't optimistic, which, you know, was disappointing. Instead of saying, you know, I demand the Senate take a vote on the Child Victims Act before they leave, you know, he just... Mm-hmm. Didn't he just totally did the reverse? So we're disappointed in him in the end. We feel that he did not push enough, and you know, he's under pressure too from Cardinal Dolan, who he is friends with. You know, we see them in pictures together and talking to each other, and Cardinal Dolan came to his State of the State speeches, and so, you know, he gets insurance money, and it's the same thing, and so we're very disappointed in him, and you know, next January, we'd like to see it in the budget as policy, and you know, the governor seems to fight more for things that he wants and puts them in the budget than things that he waits to the end of the session for.
So if somebody wants to support you, become part of your network, volunteer to help you, how can they do so? How could they contact you?
They can email me at capital G and then my last name in small, Greenberg, GREENBERG 21 at AOL.com. And you feel free to email me, and I answer all my emails, and we love to have people, you know, come aboard and help us. And because we were very close this year. I mean, this is the closest ever. And like I said, we had the votes to get a bill passed in the assembly. And I'd like to thank on your show, Senator Tedesco, for coming across the line and supporting victims and protecting children. And we had his vote. So we had the votes. We had the momentum. And we'll continue to push on and get a vote in the Senate, because that's what the kids, future generations of children deserve. These legislators have an obligation to protect kids. That's why they're here. That's why they came to Albany. They're not here to protect special interests. They're here to protect, you know, the citizens of the state. And so even though children can't vote and speak up for themselves, they deserve a voice.
Now, how long has this been tossed around in the legislature? How many years?
Well, the bills, the 11 years, you know, that in a row, and then I think beforehand, I know at least 20 years back it goes that people tried to get this passed. So the first time since 2008 the Assembly passed, you know, a version of the Child Victims Act. So it's been a long time. And like I said, the Senate Republicans have never allowed a vote in the Senate.
So you're saying 20 years. Roughly speaking, can you give an overview of exactly this legislation would correct?
Well, what it would do is it would the statute of limitations would be changed. So if you were abused at a young age, as you become an adult, you would have more time to report it, and the predator could be charged, because what we have now is, you know, you're abused as a child, 7 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, and then, you know, the predator has usually threatens you or is very powerful over you at that time. And so the average victim doesn't come forward till their 40s. So the changing the statute of limitations would give more time for a predator to be charged. It would give more time for a victim to go to civil court against the predator. And then there's the look back, which is a one-year look back for prior victims. Anyone that's ever been abused in the state could go into a civil court and take civil action against the person that or institution that might have been and knew about a predator, and still hired them. And so you would have an opportunity to go into a civil court and seek justice. And not only that, but there's because of the state has such terrible, the worst statute of limitations in the country, there's victims in their 30s that can't, you know, they got like 32, 33, and they can't, you know, do anything. They can't come forward. They can't come forward, but they can't bring charges against the predator. So, you know, there's they're still out there, these predators. So if we could get in the civil court and prove that they did that, you know, this predator did abuse, and they could be put on, as a result of that, the law states, the Child Victims Act, they could be put on sex offender list. In California, they were put on sex offender list, and other people, the publicity around those cases, they were able to charge some of these predators with newer cases, actually getting them in jail off the street. So now to look back into that also. And then, you know, that's why it's very hard to understand why a senator would not vote for this. You know, they use the excuse that people forget. I've told my story on your, you know, show 30 years after I was abused. I saw a picture. I saw my predator for 15, 20 minutes in a horrible, you know, brutal attack on me. And 30 years later, I saw his picture on the TV, and instantly I knew it was him. So you don't forget a face when someone abuses you. A lot of these cases are family, you know, friends. So, you know, when they're younger, you know, an uncle abuses you, an aunt abuses you, a cousin. You know, it's very hard. You don't want to come forward at that time, but then later on in life you realize this was wrong. You know, I want to do something about it, and it's too late then. So that's why we have to change the laws. And also the religious aspects, there's only like under 4% of the actual abuse that's going on is, you know, was from a priest or a rabbi or whatever. So for the church to come out and fight the Child Victims Act because they want to protect their monetary interest, or they want to protect, they don't want a civil court deposition subpoenas to show how terrible their behavior was by switching priests around. And so 4% of those cases, they're denying 96% of victims in this state an opportunity to go into civil court. And a lot of these victims need to go into civil court. They're not rich. They don't have a lot of money. They're poor. They need therapy. A lot of victims just want, particularly with the church, they want them to pay for the therapy. And, you know, it's just wrong, morally and spiritually wrong, that any religious organization would fight this bill based on money. I mean, kids went to a church or whatever, a synagogue. They went for spirituality. They didn't go to be raped by a priest. I mean, the church has to take responsibility. They hired these people. You know, don't say it happened 30 years ago. You know, we're not responsible, as they do. They hired the priest, the Orthodox Jews, you know, the rabbis. No matter what, they're accountable and responsible, and they have to step forward and stop hiding.
So, Gary, if there's a special session, we'll talk again. And if not,
okay,
we'll touch base in January. So you've been
great
listening to Gary Greenberg.
Thank you.
And thank you, Gary. You've been listening to Focus on Albany. If you like the show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your iPhone, subscribe to iTunes. And if you have a comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany and share your thoughts. Gary, we'll talk again. Thank you. And thank you, everybody,
thank you
for listening.